My name is Lee Hawkins. I've been a journalist for over 25 years. On my new podcast, What Happened in Alabama, I get answers to some of the hardest questions about how things came to be for many Black Americans and the truth that must come before any reconciliation can happen. I investigate my family history, my upbringing in Minnesota, and my father's painful nightmares about growing up in Alabama. What Happened in Alabama is a new series confronting the cycles of trauma for myself, my family, and for many Black Americans. Listen now.
This is it. Our May fundraiser is ending on Friday, and it's your last chance to help us reach our goal this month. Revenue sources for newsrooms like ours are changing, and donations from you, our marketplace community of listeners, are more important than ever. Help us reach our May goal before Memorial Day weekend and fund public service journalism for all. Give now at marketplace.org/donate.
The government agency whose funding violates the Constitution. From Marketplace, I'm Sabri Benishor, in for David Brancaccio. The Consumer Financial Protection Bureau, CFPB, is funded in a way that violates the Constitution. That is the ruling from a federal appeals court in New Orleans. The court's reasoning is that the CFPB doesn't get its money from Congress. It gets it through the Federal Reserve. The judges on the panel said that violates the separation of powers. Marketplace's Nova Sappho is here with more. Hi, Nova.
Hi, Sabri.
So remind us, what is the CFPB?
So Congress created the Consumer Financial Protection Bureau in 2010 during their recovery from the Great Recession, and its job is to be the single point of enforcement for federal consumer financial laws, such as the Fair Credit Reporting Act, Fair Debt Collection Practices Act, a bunch of others. Essentially, the agency oversees rules having to do with banks and other financial companies.
So what specifically about being funded by the Federal Reserve is unconstitutional?
So Congress, chose to structure the CFPB's funding through the Federal Reserve instead of requiring it to get congressional appropriations on a regular basis. Now, the idea there was to insulate it from political pressures. Now, a group representing payday lenders brought a lawsuit challenging that notion. And what the three-judge panel of the Fifth Circuit Court of Appeals said is that Congress can't just cede its appropriations power, that element of it is unconstitutional.
Oh, well. So what happens now?
So the next step for the Bureau would be to either ask the full Fifth Circuit Appeals Court to reconsider the case or to take it to the Supreme Court. Now, the Supreme Court has been here before. A couple of years ago, it ruled in a narrow 5-4 decision, I might add, on another structural question involving the CFPB. At the time, the court chose to make some tweaks to CFPB structure, but allow the agency to stand. Of course, the court is now comprised differently, and we'll have to see how this challenge goes.
All right. Marketplace's Nova Sappho, thank you so much.
Thank you.
A lot of people working from home have saved valuable time by not having to commute. The Federal Reserve Bank of New York tallied those hours up, and in total, Americans are spending 60 million fewer hours traveling to and from work every day. So what are we doing with all that extra time? Hopefully not working more. Marketplace's Savannah Marr asked some ex-commuters what they're doing with their extra time.
Shashi Belamkonda rarely had enough time for the daily walks his doctor recommended until he started working remotely. Now, walking is part of his routine, and it's sparked another hobby.
I started taking a lot of pictures of flowers. I now know a lot of names of flowers.
He also talks to his parents in India more often through a smart speaker.
It is almost like dropping in and being in the same room together. So I do that very regularly, every day.
The New York Fed looked at data from the American Time Use Survey and found that younger Americans are working out and going out more. Older folks are spending more time on childcare and chores. For Callie Serber, working from home means more peaceful mornings.
I don't have this like, I got to get in the car. I got to get in by a certain time. And there's more time to like get the kids breakfast, their hair up in a ponytail.
Plus, her garden is in better shape. Another perk of losing the commute? Lots of us are sleeping more. I'm Savannah Marr for Marketplace.
Let's do the numbers. The FTSE in London is down 0.1%. S&P and NASDAQ futures are down in the 1-4% range. Dow futures down 0.1%. That is 38 points. 10-year Treasury yield is at 4.120%. And demand for mortgages has fallen to its lowest level since 1997. Compared to this time last year, demand for mortgages is 38% lower. That is directly the result of rising interest rates. The Fed's been raising rates to fight inflation. Demand for refinancing home loans, 86% lower than a year ago.
This is it. Our May fundraiser is ending on Friday, and it's your last chance to help us reach our goal this month. Revenue sources for newsrooms like ours are changing, and donations from you, our marketplace community of listeners, are more important than ever. Help us reach our May goal before Memorial Day weekend and fund public service journalism for all. Give now at marketplace.org/donate.
With access to so much information, it's hard to feel like an informed, discerning citizen. That's why on Make Me Smart, which is a podcast from Marketplace, we make it easy for you to stay in the know. Hi, I'm Kai Rizdahl. Every weekday, Kimberly Adams and I unpack the latest from Washington, D.C.
The Senate Minority Leader has announced that he will step down as the Republican leader.
What's happening in AI? I mean, don't buy at the top, but holy cow, artificial intelligence and all the companies related to it are the hot new thing. And we do the numbers.
So as a refresher, inflation is the rate of increase in the prices of things. It's not just sort of things getting more expensive. It's the speed at which things get more expensive.
Because in a world that's constantly changing, we all need to stay smart. Listen to Make Me Smart wherever you get your podcasts.
Despite the warning signs of a potential looming recession next year, the labor market in the U.S. is still very strong. That has proved an enormous benefit for Latino workers in particular. Last month, their unemployment rate was 3.8%, the lowest it's been on record. But if we do see a real economic downturn, what happens then? Marketplace's Matt Levin reports.
When the economy starts to take a turn for the worse, the Latino unemployment rate usually spikes higher and faster than the national average. That's partly because Latinos disproportionately work in industries more vulnerable to business cycle downturns, says economist Jay Bryson at Wells Fargo.
Latinos make up about 18-19% of the workforce. They make up 33% of the employment base in the construction industry. And as we're seeing right now, home building is really starting to weaken.
New home construction is down 7.7% from last year. Carmen Sanchez-Cumming at the Washington Center for Equitable Growth says the low unemployment rate we're seeing amongst Latinos right now may be a little deceptive because it doesn't measure those who have left the labor force entirely.
Women in particular had way disproportionate care responsibilities. They had to stay home because of like school disruptions and medical disruptions, all of it.
Still, there are reasons to think Latino workers may fare better this time around than in previous downturns. While construction is still a major source of Latino employment, it's not as important as it used to be, says Mark Hugo Lopez, an economist with the Pew Research Center.
Back before the Great Recession, construction was the single largest sector of employment for Latino workers. Today, it's actually white-collar jobs and office workers who are the single largest group.
Lopez says that's because a younger cohort of U.S.-born Latinos with college degrees have entered the job market.
We have more of a U.S.-born, U.S.-educated workforce that is different than, say, the more immigrant-focused workforce of the 90s or early 2000s.
There's a possible downside to that, too, though. The median age for Latinos in the U.S. is about 9 years younger than the rest of the population, and younger workers are often more likely to be laid off than those with more seniority. I'm Matt Levin for Marketplace.
And in New York, I'm Sabri Benishour with the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.
Hey everyone, it's Rima Khreis, host of This is Uncomfortable. If you're looking for some good recommendations on books to read, Well, you should join This Is Uncomfortable's Summer Book Club. Every other week in our newsletter, we'll share a new book that'll make you rethink your relationship to money, class, and work, while also featuring an interview with the author or an expert on the topic. Plus, when you join, you'll be entered in a giveaway where you could win some This Is Uncomfortable merch. Be sure to check it out. Sign up today at marketplace.org/bookclub.